All right. Well, welcome everyone to the gold medal game plan and your opportunity to have a gold medal year. I'm very excited. My name is Karen McGregor to be here with Mary Ellen Sineko. And in just 1 hour, you'll be on your way to creating this customized gold game plan for 2010. Yay. And of course, the intention is to guide you through each step of the gold medal plan and give some tips and tools along the way that Mary Ellen has accumulated over the years of working with leaders. For those of you who don't know much about Mary Ellen, she is intuitively working with clients for many years to reach their goals, and what she has done this year is finalize and formalize this process of the gold medal game plan, and has it ready to share with you today. And I'm so glad that she did, because I'm actually one of the people that went through the process a couple of weeks ago, and it was fabulous. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Mary Ellen has also been working with individual leaders and entrepreneurs, leadership teams, for 8 years, including a New York Times best-selling author, CEOs of $400 million companies, entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, as well as leaders in continuing care and healthcare corporations. So thank you so much for being here to share your wisdom today, Mary Ellen.
My pleasure.
And just a little bit about myself as the interviewer today. I'm Karen McGregor, and I have a spiritual event company called DivineU.ca. And I'm also a speaker, facilitator, and author. And I'm very, very pleased to say that this process has helped me gain clarity on being, doing, and having, and really helped me with my focus in terms of getting my book done this year. It's been amazing so far how much I've grown from this process, and I'm so glad that you're all on the call to hear about it. So let's take a couple of minutes here to talk about the overview of the call here. As you know, it's the gold medal game plan. It's broken up into 5 different sections, and we're going to take a few minutes to talk about each section. I'll be asking Mary Ellen some questions, and what we'll do is aim to have a few minutes for you to also ask questions at the end of each section. And if there's time at the end, we'll also take a few questions. All right, so starting the gold medal game plan. Mary Ellen, can you give us a little bit of an idea on how the gold medal plan actually works?
Sure, absolutely. So thank you, Karen, and thanks for doing all that setup and all of that structure. The reasoning behind coming up with this is, as Karen had mentioned, I've kind of been doing this intuitively with individuals and with teams over the years, and I've finally written it down. The nub of it is really that it's about being intentional about what you're creating. So it's just like that quote that's on the first page, you know, the thing from Yogi Berra, you know, some famous baseball player or manager. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. So rather than getting swept away in the tides of life, what this is about is clarifying what we want, why it's important. That's half the way of getting it. And then identifying the steps to get us there is another part. And there, of course, is the structure then for moving forward. And so this game plan really is intended to be a structure to help make that happen. It lets people record and sort and kind of expand all of those miscellany thoughts, a place to put them all down. And what I've learned from working with, you know, people in all different walks of life, leaders in all different kinds of circumstances, is that, you know, we have different ways of assimilating information. So the way it's structured is that column 1 in the actual thing is an image, column 2 is a text and the questions, and column 3 is intended to be the story to, you know, to activate people's imagination, and also a place for people to write over with their own story. So that's kind of how it's, the idea of how it can all work.
And what is the difference between the different versions?
That's a great question. So it's the same steps, actually. It's just that the stories are tailored to different circumstances, different roles. And again, they're based on my experiences coaching people in these different roles. So similarities and differences. The entrepreneur, of course, somebody who's been in business a while, has been successful, and is ready after 2009 to make 2010 really a different kind of year for her business. And for the person who is the manager, the leader, again, a compilation of many leaders that I've worked with over the past, somebody who's been successful, is newly promoted, and knows that there's more that needs to happen for in him and for him to flourish in his new role. So that's kind of really the only difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I'm glad that you have those two versions. How could people get the best use out of the tool?
So it's actually similar to what I had said on the front page piece. What I really encourage people to do is do whatever you know is going to work for you to encourage your creativity. This is not the time to have your inner critic running the show. And use the sample stories as a starting point. Being really honest with yourself if you use them. You know, thinking, does this, what's here really resonate for me? So ensuring that the words feel right for you.
Mm. And how long is it going to take to complete the tool?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, because everybody's kind of crunched on time and we all have these grand ideas of what we want to do and don't always get around to doing it. So I was pleased. On Monday morning, actually by noon, I'd already received the first completed plan by somebody and it took her 45 minutes. So there it is. What I would encourage people to do, so it can take, you know, 45 minutes, I guess, is the least, and up to however long you want to take it. What I would encourage you to do is to set a timeline or a deadline for yourself, because otherwise it's just one more thing that's away, and who needs that? And what I would also encourage people to do with that timeline deadline thing is do it in partnership with somebody else, you know, and maybe set up a copy that you can talk about it and dream a little. So go ahead. Thanks. I was going to say, so we have a few minutes, and I'm just going to unmute everybody here. And so, as we mentioned, we're hoping to stop after each section for questions. So we haven't really dove into any of the sections yet, but I just want to check in. If anybody does have any questions, just do the star six thing to unmute you, and I'll answer them, and then we'll move on to the next step.
Okay.
Cool.
I think we can go on to step one. What do you think,
Mary Ellen? I think we can. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, let's do that. So step one is focused on what one thing would make 2010 a gold medal year for you. So, Mary Ellen, can you tell us the importance of this step?
Yeah. So what I've noticed in my coaching work is that if you don't have a clear view of what you want your world to be, then it's not so easy to get it. Okay. It's kind of like that seek but never find game. So one of the things I do with my clients is define that vision, you know, asking questions to help them identify what it is they want to have, how they want it to look. And so step one, the importance of that is that it's about zeroing in on what's important and meaningful and identify that one thing that really would make 2010 a gold medal year for you.
Great. And what's all involved in this step?
So, you know, there's the actual document talks, I think it has like a couple of steps or a couple of, you know, mini steps inside it. But what I'd say is the most important part that's really involved is relaxing and reflecting. So one of my CEO clients, what he said was, you know, I don't have the time to reflect and I don't have the time to not reflect. So it's kind of setting yourself up for that moment of taking a look, maybe reviewing last year's wins and loses. You know, starting with what we want more or less of is a great way to ease into it. And what I've noticed in my coaching work is that it's this digging that turns a goal like, you know, losing weight into something meaningful. Like in the article we had that was related to this gold medal thing, it's, you know, connecting whatever it is you have to the bigger picture and connecting it to your values. So one of the tips that I would encourage anyone who's going to follow the plan to do is that when you do identify something as a focus for 2010, ask yourself, why is this so important to me? And then you'll find the values that are driving that. And if it's about a should, then that's not likely to be so inspiring.
Mm, good point. And what's the value of reviewing the last year? Because I know that that's one of the things that I went through in the process, and I did find it very valuable. So what do you think, in your opinion?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, so I kind of always thought that everybody did it, and then I got your feedback. And also talking with clients, they were a little surprised. Well, why am I looking at the past, whether it's looking at the past year or when I'm doing any goal setting? You know, we forget all that's gone on before, and there's a wealth of information there. You know, looking at what are our wins, where did we really shine? It reminds us of all that we did accomplish. and helps us know where we can build on for next year.
Good point. And we have so many different areas of life that we focus on. How does a person going through this process choose one?
That's a great question. And it's actually, you know, it comes up a lot with people, especially now you want to do it right. So what I do in my coaching work is that I encourage my clients to listen for that part of your life that's calling out for attention. You know, feel the part that's pulling on your coat sleeve. Because you know. And you know, pick one. It's going to be a good start.
That's interesting, because when I went through it, I actually, about halfway through, realized what was pulling on my coat sleeve.
yeah, exactly. And that's a really great point, actually, because going through the steps, I mean, because I use this process myself as well, and writing it down was very illuminating, because it's following steps sequentially, but you know, we kind of go around and around. So as you're doing one thing, you might kind of say, oh, right, something else is coming up. You know, you might want to just jot down notes in another section so that when you get to it, it'll already be there as well.
Mm-hmm. And how, like, why do you suggest that we only use one, and how do I know if I'm picking the right one?
Picking only one is a thing, you know, oh, I have so many things that I want to do. I mean, we all have that. What I have noticed is that I really encourage people to identify one primary one, because you're setting yourself up to win. So sure, you can have more. And there's one that you're focusing on at one time. What that does is that it helps clarify your vision, and that clarifies your focus. Other bits can get pulled along when you achieve the primary one, but it's that single focus helps it be more clear about what are the priorities. And in terms of, you know, how do I know that I'm picking the right one? You know, there's a few ways to answer that. You know, we know what happens to people who stay in the middle of the road. They get run over, right? And then, so there's that. So, okay, we got to get off the middle of the fence or off the middle of the road. There's this thing by Peter Drucker, a quote that he says, you know, whenever you see a successful business, someone once made a courageous decision. Yeah, and that's what we need to do. Yeah, or, you know, let's channel some Deepak Chopra. I'm not a big Deepak fan. And one of my clients, you know, she said, she kind of clued into something. She had said, you know, what he says is that in the universe, there's no right and wrong decision. Whatever decision you make, the universe will close in on you, and it will support you with that decision. So what I'd encourage people to do in terms of knowing that you're picking the right one, trust yourself. You know, you're going to be in the right vicinity, and it's going to support you more in other pits that you want in your life as well.
I love that. Wise advice, Mary Ellen.
Well, it's not for me. It's from Deepak, and he knows everything. So here, I'm just going to unmute again so that people can ask questions. If there's anything that's kind of cropping up around the step one thing, we have a couple minutes. If there's anything specific. So this is really cool, because I was worried.
Hello?
Oh, yes?
Hi, Mary Ellen. It's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I do have a question about picking the one goal. Do you recommend, because I have a bunch of things that need to be accomplished this year that sort of are my overall business vision, and so do you recommend doing a rundown for every single goal, or are we just trying to focus on one, and then once we've completed that goal, then go back and do your little system again?
So that's a great question in terms of, you know, do I do it iteratively? Do I chunk it down? Do I go to the big picture? And so if you look at the case study for the entrepreneur version, for example, and I think that's the one that you downloaded, that entrepreneur had a vision for what she wanted at the end of the year that would make it a gold medal year. And it incorporated a lot of other things. And so it was identifying that one bit that was going to include all of those things. And then in the later steps, then we break it down into the different milestones. Does that help?
I think so. I think as we go along, it'll probably be a little clearer, too.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
So I urge you to pick one grand one that incorporates a bunch of other bits.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Hi, Mary Ellen. It's Diane.
Hi.
Hi, I have a question for Karen.
Yes.
I'm just curious, what was that one thing that was pulling on your shirt coat that that you identified with, if that's not too personal to ask?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. It was the completion of my book. And interestingly enough, for about the past 12 to 18 months, I've been fiddling with it. And I actually decided about halfway through Mary Ellen's plan that it was very evident that that was the thing that, and it's not a should for me, but it's more of a heartfelt, almost soul journey that I absolutely needed to complete it. And I don't know if I would have reached that conclusion had I not done the process that that's in the plan. So yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, I think that makes some sense, in that that was your goal and you couldn't quite get to that goal without making that a main focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that answers my question. I don't know if it helped me, but hopefully it helped somebody that's on the line, I guess. And I think it has helped me. And just I always answer my own questions. Ask my own. Ask questions. Answer them. Anyway, thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. We'll move to step two now, if everyone's ready. Are you okay with that, Mary Ellen?
I think that's great.
Okay. Thank you. So in step two, this is was such an important part for me, and getting back to Diane's question, I think that this really turned it around for me to see what my focus was, is that who will I be when I realize my vision? Who will I be? So the state that I'm in. So, Mary Ellen, can you explain to us in your wisdom why this step is so important?
Sure. So here's what I've noticed from my work with different clients and teams, is that without going to the who will you be part, then a goal can become dry, kind of like a should. It's not very enticing. And, you know, we really don't need to have more to-dos on our to-do list that are obligations. The whole idea about connecting to who we'll be makes it easier for us to walk towards it. You know, it's easier to walk when we know where we're going. When it makes it more clear, it's easier to see the path, and we're not walking into darkness, you know, kind of using that whole metaphor. It's also... what also makes it important is that it's easier to be excited about something when we know where we're going.
Mm.
And it makes it easier to renew our motivation, you know, when we have stumbles or when things don't go so well. And, you know, for a final reason about why this is important, you know, I saw, after a long time, I finally saw The Secret recently, and it's that whole idea, you know, taking a page from that, the more that you can visualize and experience success, and in a pointed way, about where it is that you want to go, then the more you are going to be attracting it. I've seen it happen time and again for me personally, and I definitely see it for the people that I'm working with.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. And what are the pieces that are involved in this step?
Yeah. So just breaking it down, it's, again, connecting to the experience of achievement, you know, seeing yourself, being in that moment. One of the cool bits about going to that moment when you have realized your vision is that it actually takes it out of this nebulous thing of this fuzziness. It makes it more clear in terms of identifying, what are the criteria for my success? How will I know that I'm successful? It has us feeling more of that then, and what that does is it kind of brings more of that feeling, that sense of who we want to be, along the way when we're going towards achieving it, not just at completion.
Thank you. And in terms of the visualization, can you let us know why would we want or need to visualize our success?
Yeah, it kind of connects to kind of the more or less the importance of this whole step, is that it sets us up to have more of that experience along the way, which has you act more like that person. And then when you take actions from that way of being, then you're more likely to get that way of being faster. So whether your goal is you want to grow your business, whether it is you want to be a more effective leader, whether you want to have better relationships with your kids, whether you want to attract a partner, and these are all different circumstances that I've worked with people on, having that clarity of where it is that I want to go in terms of seeing it in my mind's eye means that I know that I have the capacity within me to get there. It makes it easier for me to step into being that person.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And notice that you recommend picking two inner attitudes. Why only two?
Mm. And, you know, so there's many that can come up. But, you know, our brain can only hold so many things. So, you know, picking two is a starting point. And, again, it helps us identify the dominant ones, helps us clarify. So in my coaching work, what I notice is supporting people in really pinpointing what it is that they're going for in terms of an inner experience and who they want to become, again, sharpens their focus so that that becomes more of a priority, whether consciously or unconsciously, in their day-to-day as well.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. And what about specificity? Do you think that it's important to be specific with these inner attitudes?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. So it's better to be more specific, and it can come over time. And it's interesting because we're talking about inner attitudes as opposed to the details of what it is that we'll see around us. Sometimes we can get caught up in the details of what we'll see around us, you know, and kind of get scared or kind of get stuck in the minutiae of it. Being more specific about how it is that you want to be or how you are going to be feeling or parts of yourself that will really be called forth, that, again, has us become more clear about what is that experience inside me. So then we know what we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That really helped me with the patience and tenacity part of completing my book. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think we're at the end of step two. Do we have time for questions, Mary Ellen?
Yeah, I think we do. Just a couple.
Okay. Do you want to open the lines up?
Absolutely. So it's opened up, so if anybody has any questions, just hit *6, and we'll hear you.
Hi, Mary Ellen. It's Diane again. I'm just wondering if meditation is part of this?
Oh, absolutely. So, and different people have different forms of meditation. So, yeah, meditating on a vision. So that's what I notice. Some of my clients, they already have a habit of doing that. It's a lovely thing to do.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. And meditation takes on many forms, you know. So for some people, it's when they're running. Other times for people, it's, you know, just sitting quietly, looking outside. Other people, it's yoga. You know what works for you.
Does anyone else have questions? I think we have room for one more question.
We do.
I have a question, Mary Ellen, myself.
Okay.
In terms of state, you know, who will you be when you realize your vision? So what if I have, you know, a huge challenge and it throws me off, and I was in this state and now I'm finding it difficult to get back in. Is there any advice you have for that?
Sure, and actually we talk about that in step 5, the whole thing about stumble recovery, you know, when we get thrown off.
Yeah.
And the idea is that these are the parts of ourselves that we want to have called forth. Wouldn't it be grand if we had, you know, whether it's calm or confidence or clarity, if we had that 24/7? And it's not likely to be the case at the beginning, because that's kind of the point of it being a goal, that it's something that we want to have more of. What I've noticed is when people focus on the bits when they do have it, then it does naturally expand.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a matter of, like in the story, actually, in the article that I had, the January article of Leading Edge was on, or any of the articles, the fellow was focusing on wanting to have more calm in his life, and he used exercise as one way of getting that. And so when he was doing the exercise, he was again focusing on feeling calm. What was cool, though, is that as he had it more in those moments, then it expanded into other parts of his day as well.
Wow, thank you so much.
So why don't we move on to step 3?
Great. Step three is create your gold medal vision. Now, Mary Ellen, why is this particular step necessary? It seems like it's, you know, restating what we've already done in the previous step. So why are we bothering to restate the vision and who we're going to be?
Yeah, so this part is actually about bringing it all together. So it's about the video that you run in your head when you need motivation. So from my experience with clients, you know, if you're a visual person, then draw a picture. Do a like a vision board. I'm looking at my own in my own office, you know. Or if you're a text person, then write down the words. You know, this is painting the mural that you're walking towards. It's taking that essency part of what am I feeling, what am I experiencing, and connecting it also to the part in step one, you know, the actual result that I'm aiming for.
And how do we draw this picture?
Yeah, so it's about connecting to it as you did in step two in terms of that emotional experience and filling in some of the, you know, consensus reality details of step one. So in the manager example, he had a habit of being calm. So that was what he was looking for in step one. And in step two, he could see that, yes, he had this thing about being calm, but it was also about feeling confident. So it's kind of, the drawing the picture is kind of connecting those two pieces.
I see. Thank you. And what is the idea and relevance behind calling this a gold medal vision or gold medal year?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was the obvious thing, right, about the Olympics being in the Lower Mainland. So there is that, but the gold medal year, that whole metaphor, it's not about competing with others. It's more about, you know, being the athlete that commits to practicing every day. You know, where the actual competition is the outcome, but it's that rigor. And what I notice coming up in coaching all the time is people asking in different ways the question of, you know, how do I become elite in what I'm doing? Mm. How do I become my best me? And so the idea of, or behind this gold medal vision thing is, you know, what does it mean to win in your life? That's what we're really talking about. And gold medal athletes, so a lot of goal set information on setting goals, there's a lot of studies, a lot of research, empirical data on that. What we know is they take action aligned with that bigger vision, with that ultimate goal. And so in my coaching work, what I see is this is where success comes from, connecting to the bigger picture and then taking actions aligned with that.
That makes sense for when I went through this process and I had 365 days of writing a blog about my writing, which I thought was really aligned with your recommendation about staying focused and committing to action every day.
Yeah, fantastic.
So thank you. I think that all came about due to your plan that I went through. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see, and it's interesting, actually. So the lines are open for anybody who has a question. And so just, you know, while people are unmuting themselves to ask something, it's something that I'll just mention that's what I notice, again, it comes up again in my coaching work all the time, is this idea of keeping a clear focus on what is really important. Okay. Bye, Tino. So that idea of taking daily action is wonderful, even if it's just a small bit, you know, just a small step.
Mm-hmm.
It helps build momentum.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Is there someone who has a question about step three, creating the vision?
And this, so while we're waiting for somebody to ask a question about it, what was interesting when I was writing this down and actually creating it is that this was kind of one of the outcomes that we were seeking. And what's cool is that having this vision actually supports in moving forward with the steps in steps four and five. So is there a question that anybody has?
It's Diane again.
Hi, Diane.
Hey, I would say that then creating your priorities in your life are most important. What are your priorities? What are the things that are most important to you? And always keeping them in the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty much what the idea is behind having the gold medal year or having the gold medal game plan. It's identifying that one focus and keeping your eye on that. Yeah, we have lots of other things that are on the go, and so we're going to get into that in step four. But absolutely, knowing that piece about what's important and being able to take action in alignment with that.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane. Mary Ellen, would you like to go to step four now?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so step four involves what will you need to do to realize your gold medal vision, and also who will you be as you take this action. So, Mary Ellen, why is this step important, and how is it different from step two?
Yeah. So, you know, steps one, two, and three have all been about the big dream, the visioning, the kind of looking out at where it is that you want to go, connecting to what's important. And for those of us who are kind of anxious to get into doing those, like, yeah, that's really nice, but let me actually, you know, do stuff. That's what this step's about. Step two was about connecting to the experience of achieving it. Step four is about actually achieving it. It's the what are you going to do to get to where it is you want to go.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how detailed do I need to get with the signposts?
Right. So what's interesting is that we often, again, this comes up again a lot with different coaching clients, is that we have lots of things in our mind, and we can get really stuck in the minutiae of all of the details of the things that I need to do. What I encourage people to do is first dump out all those details that are floating around in your mind. Just get them all out. You know, just because you've already got a lot of stuff there. And what's interesting, of course, is that, and what I see a lot, is that once we get it down on paper, it's actually way less than all the stuff that we thought, like all the room that it was taking up in our mind. And then from there, once you empty that space, then other creativity can emerge. So in terms of level of detail, I would say dump it all out, be a little bit creative, and then do the broad brushstrokes on the major milestones, you know, that aren't there, and drill down in terms of detail on the first two or three steps. Otherwise, you're going to get bogged down, and things are going to change. And I've seen that happen time and again, working with leaders, working with entrepreneurs. Focus on what you can do in the immediate future, and you have your milestones, your major milestones, and then when you get, you know, finish those ones, then you can kind of move on to the next piece, which I think might help or address some of Wendy's questions earlier.
Thank you. And do you recommend having rewards at these milestones? And if so, what kind of rewards?
Well, one thing I really do recommend is celebrating all actions that you take. So one of the things that I do with my clients early on in working with them is identify how you want to celebrate. You know, whether it's a happy dance, whether it's, you know, a fist pump, whether it's arms raised to the, you know, to the heavens with a big thank you, like whatever it is. Celebrate all the actions that you're taking, the achievements that you're doing, especially things that are within your control. I recommend having rewards at milestones, absolutely, and celebrating all the way through. And having the reward, of course, be something that's meaningful. And have the reward be a healthy one. And I'm not saying, you know, that you need to have a drink of water when you've succeeded or do, you know, go run 50 miles. It's more, so if you're going to, you know, have something yummy, then of course do it in moderation. The point, though, is to celebrate and acknowledge the actions that you've taken that definitely builds up momentum.
Thank you. Now, I know this may sound a bit pessimistic, but what about all these other things that I need to do in my life, and where do they fit in with the actions and milestones?
Yeah, and this comes up in coaching all the time, right, because we have lots of things on the go. So what I encourage people to do is, you know, remember step one. We identified one focus as the priority. Keep an eye on that. In terms of how do you fit these actions and milestones into other bits, one of my tips is pick your daily top three priorities or set a weekly goal that's aligned with this grand vision. Another tip that I have for setting people up to win is I encourage people to create something called a max goal, where you have a minimum or a momentum, and that's the minimum that you will do no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter if you get sick, your kids get sick, if there's an earthquake, if there's a, you know, snowstorm, whatever it is. You will do that minimal momentum no matter what. And it's important that you do it. Then the next step is set yourself up to have an achievable goal. You know, something that if things kind of go along, that, you know, if they kind of go as planned, then you'll do that. And then the extraordinary is, you know, wow, if things go fantastic. So going back again to, you know, how do I get to doing these actions? How do I fit them in? By setting yourself up with these kind of max goals or baby steps, then you're going to be able to find the room for it. Another thing that I would do in terms of how to fit this all in with your life is building some kind of structure of accountability. And I'm saying this with a smile, for the really smart people, that does include hiring a coach. So just had to put a plug in there. My point is that you need to, having a structure of accountability, having your commitments and accountability partner that you're saying, yes, I did do it, and this is how I did it, it really can help build momentum and lead you to more success.
I know certainly in writing my book, what I realized was that I think a lot more about writing than I actually write.
Mm. Funny how that is, you and everybody else, yeah.
Yes, some of you might relate to that.
Yes.
So, Marianne, what happens if I get sidetracked and how do I come back to that?
Yeah, so in coaching we call that stumble recovering, or that's what I call it, and deal with it all the time. So it's about fitting that goal into your life. So the idea of stumble recovery, so think of a kid learning how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
They stumble, right?
Yeah.
When they stumble, do they think, oh, I can't believe I'm stupid, oh, I can't believe it. No, no. So when we get sidetracked, you know, okay, it's going to happen. It's just like a kid when they're learning how to walk, they, you know, they get back up. And as observers of the kids, that's what we say to, oh, you know, good job, way for getting up. So people who can master stumble recovery, they get further down the road. And I see this with my clients who develop this skill. They know how to manage their risks, stay on track, and they get further down the road. So when you get sidetracked, how do you come back? Master that skill of stumble recovery. Yes, I stumbled. Okay. Here it is. I'm here right now. Now what do I do?
I love that piece of advice. And I love the word stumble recovery. That's one I'm definitely going to keep in my repertoire. Now, shall we open the lines up for questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's open now and people can just, yeah, absolutely. So if you have any questions, just unmute yourself and ask away. And while we're just kind of waiting for that, you know, the whole thing about stumble recovery is that it just normalizes it. It kind of takes the weight off that, you know, you're a terrible, no, people, you're going to stumble. Okay, so there it is. Know that you're going to do it, and that's what we move on into in step five. And the way we respond to the stumbles is going to have an impact on how successful we are. I mean, it really is. And successful meaning achieving what it is that we're going after.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mary Ellen at this point?
I have a question, Mary Ellen.
Sure, Diane.
You recognize my voice.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how much to have you on as a consistent coach. Like, not, you know, I have to look at my budget. I have to
right.
look what I can afford. And so, like, what would it cost me to achieve this through you, I guess? I
right.
can't think of anyone better.
Thank you. And so just so everybody knows, this is not a plant. Diane is not a plant for asking this question. That's very kind of you.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm curious because I do need, I recognize that you know, I slip slide and I also wanted, my other question is when will you be having another session to sort of keep us focused on the five points that you've given us.
Right. So to answer the first question in terms of fees and all that, I have a price sheet and I'd be, you know, delighted to send it out to you, because there's different packages that I have. There's, you know, again, actually following the gold medal plan, there's the bronze, the silver, the gold, and the platinum. So the amount of time that people invest in the coaching, you know, that's going to be having an impact on the investment, time and money. My biggest encouragement for for anybody in terms of looking for a coach is to check in on the fit that you have with the person in terms of rapport and how comfortable you are. So, Diane, I can send off the details for you in terms of financial commitments, and if anybody else is interested, you know, I'd be delighted to send it out. In terms of an ongoing structure, this is actually just a test thing that I was doing, so I didn't have any other immediate plans. And if other people do have an interest in something where there would be some kind of group coaching or something in terms of accountability, then again, drop a line and we can see what we can rig up.
Yeah, the reason that I ask you that question is because I have two people that are interested in working on my project, and I would like them to go through this session and just to understand more about what is available to them, I guess. Yeah.
Of course. So that's wonderful. And just so that you know, this recording will be available for download for anybody, and we'll also have the form, the actual gold medal game plan, is also available for download from my site. And so you and I can speak offline, Diane, about what would work for your team. And for others who are interested, please feel free to forward on the information. If there are other people in your life who you think would, it'd be great if they could be on board with doing
yeah.
this game plan with you. Yeah. And so I know some of the other people that have completed the game plan that they've sent it in to me, that's exactly what they're doing. So they're doing it together as a group.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Well,
Mary Ellen,
thank you so much for letting us know about your services through Diane's question. And again, for those of you who don't know, Mary Ellen's website is www.conduitcoaching.com. So it's conduit, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, coaching.com. We do have another step and our free gift to give away, so hang in there, everybody. Let's go to step 5. What will you do and who will you be to turn barriers into bridges? So we're getting now to those challenges and turning them into bridges and achieving our 2010 gold medal vision. So that's step 5. And my first mm-hmm. question to you, Mary Ellen, is why is it important to look at your barriers before you start out on your road?
Right. Well, so we could go along and not look at the barriers and then just encounter them and be surprised. So the idea is that if you know what you could happen, then you already have your plan in process and you don't get sidetracked. So one of the things that I do with my clients is that we kind of make this part of the plan in terms of our design when we're working together, whether it's working with a team or whether it's working with an individual, getting clear about what are our slippery slopes. And, you know, they'll show up while you're doing the plan. You know, all those little nagging voices, they'll come in.
Mm.
So it's about coming up with a plan or a starting point of what you can do with those barriers.
Thank you so much. I think that's such an important step that I've never considered before in my planning for the year. So my second question is, what are the components of this step, Mary Ellen?
Yeah, so it's about, again, looking at what's come up even while you've been doing the process, you know, the inner challenges, whether it's fear or procrastination or insecurity, you know, whatever it is, we all got them. Or it could be just the external challenges that you've noticed as you've been going through the process. Oh, you know, am I going to be able to put time aside? I have a family that needs my time and energy. How am I going to fit that in? So it's, you know, startup costs. What technology am I going to need? And I don't know what to do with it. So this is a place to dump all that stuff. So that's, first of all, kind of the key part of it, is that it's a dumping ground. You know you've written it down. You can go back to the other steps if you've been doing it iteratively. The next component, and one of the things that I do with my clients all the time, is have them look at what's within their control. Because you can't do stuff about the other bits.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at, you know, external challenges, whether it's, you know, technology or staffing because I have to hire people, okay, so that's it. So what within that is within your control?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because as soon as we start looking at that, it's kind of like, take a deeper breath. Oh, right. And it starts again calling on that other part of ourselves, and which you already have the answers from in step 2 on who you want to be. And so building a strategy, that's what we end up doing. That's kind of the outcome. it's a natural bit when we look at those things, we look at what's within our control, we look at who we want to be, and also looking at your past experiences. So that's kind of a tip. Look at what you've done in the past in terms of changing or transforming or turning those barriers into bridges, because you've done it all the time.
Yeah.
So just identify it, and then, you know, you can lean into it.
Thank you. That's so wise. Thank you so much for that. I guess a last question is, you know, what sort of tips do you have to help people follow through, and, you know, what is going to help me get the most out of this?
Mm. So out of this particular step,
mm-hmm.
Well, this one is just meant to be a step that kind of eases your journey. It's not meant to stop it. It's important to not get bogged down with it. Just kind of see it as, in terms of this one, okay, this is a strategy that I'm going to experiment with. See it as a place of practice,
mm-hmm.
an idea. Okay, you know, and what's interesting is that, you know, some people will get stuck in it, and what I've also noticed is that some people don't even want to go there, you know, because they want to feel all optimistic and positive. Well, of course we want to feel that way. And identifying these things proactively supports us feeling more in control, and also in terms of feeling more confident about our abilities. And it's that part of yourself that says, oh, you know, you're kind of living in fantasy land. This takes care of that part as well.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do we have a few minutes for any questions that may have come up over and around this step five, Mary Ellen?
Sure. Or if there's any other questions that we have on the whole process, I think we could do that right now.
Oh, yes. That's correct. Yeah. We are at the end of our process, that's right. So are there any questions for that step or any other thing that we've talked about? Let's open the lines up.
And while we're kind of, you know, people are unmuting or thinking about stuff, just kind of, let's just do an overview of what we've looked at. So the idea of having this gold medal game plan is to achieve your gold medal year, to achieve that vision. It's about living intentionally. So in step one, we identify what's important for us, what it is we want to have more of, what it is that we really want to focus on for the year. And from there, and also looking at what's important to us about that, having it be measurable would be really great. That's great. Welcome. So I'm just going to be kind of doing an overview of this. And then step two, looking at who it is that we're going to be, you know, what parts of ourselves are really going to be getting called forth as we're achieving that, being able to blend that in step three so that you have this vision. Ah, it's making that measurable piece in gold one come alive in terms of the who you are going to be, how you're going to be feeling. But we don't want to just stay off in the dreamy land. So step four is breaking it down into the milestones, the things that you need to do to achieve the vision. And also, who are you going to be as you're taking action? Because it's not just about driving, driving, driving. It's about bringing in that part of you that you identified in step two, having it be more of a consistent experience. And then step five is just about being proactive about things that can get in your way. So, you know, if there's any questions that anybody has about the process, we'll just kind of check in on those now.
Mary Ellen, hi, it's Wendy.
Hi.
Hi. I do have a question about, I know in your email you said if we get this to you by February 1st,
yes,
you'll kind of give us a little half an hour of your time, which is awesome. So if, because I'm a visual learner, I would
yes.
definitely do like a vision board. So is that something that I could just take a picture of and email you along with my what I've written down? So
oh, absolutely. And what I would encourage you to do is actually write down the stuff as well. So whether it's, you know, whatever level of detail works for you, the point is that you've thought about each of the steps and you've broken down the milestones and you've also identified the challenges and what's important for you in terms of who you are becoming. So I'd be delighted to see your dream board. I've actually had many clients do that for me, so that'd be wonderful.
Thank you.
Hi, Mary Ellen. It's Kelly.
Hello.
Hi, this has been wonderful. Thank you. I just want to take the opportunity to say that you have a real gift and skill in expressing these ideas in a very clear way.
Oh,
I thought
thank
this,
you.
This document was very thorough, and it's but your your, you know, additional comments have been very clarifying. So thank you. I just want to say that I'm very good at the staying in the dreamy part and the visioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the step four, breaking it down into doable, achievable, small goals. And you mentioned these baby steps. Could you just speak a little bit more to that, this minimum momentum goal that you mentioned?
Sure. Absolutely. And so I'm glad that you asked that question. Again, that's something that I notice again. It comes up a time and again with clients in terms of we have the big vision. And now how do I break it down? So what I encourage again, just to look at the milestones, identify the next two or three or even just one or two steps. The idea of the max goal, so I actually learned it off a woman by the name of Anna Christensen, and I use it all the time. So if you write down max, like on the left side, and M is minimum or momentum. And the definition of that one is something that you will do no matter what. And I have a secret tip for you on how to set up a minimum momentum goal to set yourself up for success. So whatever it is that you're aiming for, whether it's developing a habit of, you know, I don't know, running, of exercise, or whether it's taking action to grow your business, and let's say it's making sales calls, the thing to set yourself up for a win is to have that minimum momentum be one. Because you want to have all these things be quantifiable, have the minimum be one, really, one. Because no matter what, you've done that one, you have won already. And that is bonus for building momentum. Then the A part is achievable, or accelerate is what I like to call it. So that's kind of like if things kind of go according to plan. And then extraordinary is about, oh, okay, wow, if things have gone fantastic, this is what I'm going to be doing. So the idea of having a max goal is that it's great if it's a quantitative thing, like if you can break down doing a task into, you know, one thing and then three times or five times. It can also be the thing if you have a bigger goal, like Wendy had asked this question earlier, I have this bigger goal, and then how do I break it down? So if you can chunk it down into a weekly thing, let's say, then you would set your minimum, and it's like not a, like five, maybe there's five steps. Well, minimum is doing step one. Achievable is doing, you know, three steps. Extraordinary would be doing all five steps, like whatever. Does that help?
That's great. Very much.
Excellent. My pleasure.
Thank you,
Karen. So I'm mindful of the time, Karen. I don't know if we have time for one more question or if you want to go talk about the special gift, which Wendy's already sort of mentioned.
Yes. Well, is there anyone else who has one last burning question for Mary Ellen before we go on and give you your special gift? Okay. Well, just so you all know, if you do have a burning question later in the day or sometime tomorrow, feel free to send an email to Mary Ellen, and her email is me@conduitcoaching.com. So the special gift is if you really want to realize your vision and, you know, have that come true, send Mary Ellen your completed game plan, all right? So it has to be absolutely complete by February 1st for a complimentary coaching session. And this coaching session is going to help make that vision a reality. And as I said, it's completely complimentary, and you can email Mary Ellen with any questions you have that come up while you're completing the game plan. So she's there as a support for you as you're doing it. Now, if you're not already subscribed to Mary Ellen's monthly articles, or twice, I guess bi-monthly, you can go to her homepage of her website and sign up. And again, her website is www.conduitcoaching.com. And Mary Ellen, for those of us who may be listening to this call after February 1st, is there any special possibility of a gift for those people? What would you like to offer?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. You know, I hadn't really thought about it. So I know that people that are downloading it from my website, I can actually see when they downloaded it. So they're, you know, welcome to get in touch with me. We gave people 3 weeks this time, so within 3 weeks. The point is having some kind of urgency of doing it, because otherwise it's just kind of on the list. And what I really love is working with people who are willing to take action on their dreams. So that's kind of where that comes into play.
And I found the sooner that I did it, it actually was, you know, better for me. So I agree with you on the deadline. Thank you so much for offering this complimentary coaching session for all of our listeners today and for future listeners. So thank you all so much for being on the call. And
yes.
Mary Ellen, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Karen. And thank you to everybody who came on, because I know it's, you know, an hour out of our time in a busy time of year. And I'm actually really looking forward to hearing all about your gold medal years. I hope that you can complete the form, that you get it into me by February 1st, because I would be delighted, really. I'm what nourishes my soul is getting to support people in realizing their vision. So it would be an honor. And I'll be in touch with the link to the recording and maybe checking in on how 2010 is going for you.
Great.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, Mary Ellen.
All right. My pleasure. So we'll sign off all and take care and have a great 2010.
Thanks, Mary Ellen.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
See y'all. Bye.
Bye.